Kings. Kings. That's what some have called us. I suppose they're right. Others call us by our traditional names, Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthasar. In the gospel, we are simply known as wise men or magi. But who are we really? And what were we doing in Bethlehem that night? And what about that star we followed? It's a long story, almost as long as our journey. You may call me Melchior, if you please. It's from an old word meaning king. So in a way, I suppose I am a king, descended from a long line of kings, but not in the sense you might think. We magi are interpreters of dreams, sacred writings, and the stars. We use our craft to advise kings. One of our predecessors, Rab Meg was the leading magi of the court of Nebuchadnezzar. It would have been the word of Rab Meg and his staff court magi that convinced Nebuchadnezzar that the time was just right for a campaign in Jerusalem. Often we are right, sometimes not. Sometimes even the most learned of us wise men could not read the signs and tell the king what they meant. But there was one who could, not a Gentile like me, but a Jew, one of the captives from Jerusalem. His name was Daniel. Belteshazzar, we called him. He kept himself apart from the religion of Babylon, praying only to his God, Lord Yahweh. Yet despite his apparent contempt for all that the king held dear, Daniel proved himself 10 times better than all the magi in the court. Only Daniel can interpret the king's dreams, always telling him the truth, even when it meant bad news for the king. There were dozens of bright and learned young men like Daniel among the captives from Judah. The court magi, fearing for their jobs, were envious and sought the destruction of these foreigners. But in time, it became clear that they had much to offer. Eager to learn more, Gentile magi in Babylon and later Persia studied the books of the law and the prophecy that the Jewish exiles had brought with them. They combined this knowledge with their own. Thus, when the star appeared, the brightness shined on many of us who were already looking forward to the king that the star proclaimed. Just what was this star? As magi, my companions and I had an intimate knowledge of the skies. We knew the name of every star, every planet, every constellation. We knew where each object would be in the sky and when it should be there, by the hour, by the month, and by the season. Now, we didn't understand the nature of the heavenly objects as you might. You think of stars as giant, glowing balls of gas, super perpetuating hydrogen bombs, so to speak. And the planets, you think of them as rocky orbs reflecting the light of the sun. But in my day, the stars and planets were thought to be spiritual beings with life and power of their own. Gods to some, angels to others. Anything new in the heavens, any change at all, meant that the divine was sending us a message. Added to this was our knowledge of the Hebrew scriptures, shared with us by the Jews that lived amongst us. From them, we learned of a great light, a light that would shine on those living in the land of the Valley of the Dead. It would be a light of a child yet to be born, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He would reign from David's throne, the borders of his government increasing to include all the nations, even Gentiles like me. Everything about his birth of this child would be wondrous. He would be given a name that no one but a divine king should bear, Emmanuel, God with us. What's more, the town of his birth had been foretold. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. All of this the Hebrew prophets had foretold. Added to this, we even knew the purpose of his coming. It wasn't just to establish a new empire or a new king. In my part of the world, my people had seen one empire after the other come and go. Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece. But this king, this divine king, he would rule in a different way. He would come as a servant to his people. Ordinary kings demand that their people die for them. But like a helpless lamb, this king would die for his people. The prophet, looking far ahead, wrote, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." This king was unique. He was special. And so we magi, wise men, came thousands of miles seeking him out to offer him our worship. How did we know where to go? It was the star. In my view, it was an angel, perhaps even Gabriel himself. Imagine Gabriel bringing good news of the Savior's birth to Gentiles in a way that we could understand and welcome. The Gospel of Matthew says, "We saw his star in the east." Perhaps I can explain it this way. My companions and I were scanning the heavens one night, and there, to our amazement, was a new star. Night after night, though all the other objects in the sky passed overhead, this star stayed in exactly the same spot in the western sky, beckoning us, calling to us. We consulted the Jewish rabbis of the dispersion. We studied the scriptures. They told us, "A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel." But could the appearance of this star be the fulfillment of that prophecy? And so we embarked on our journey, proceeding northwesterly and then south towards Jerusalem, near the place that the star shined upon. It was 1,000 miles or more, traveling by foot and by camel. A difficult trek at the best of circumstances. Months and months it took us, months of exposure to cold nights and blowing sand, of threats of robbers lurking in remote places, of anxiously watching our provisions diminish, of worrying that we might be turned back by hostile soldiers, of hoping that we would arrive not only with our lives, but with our gifts for the new king. When we arrived in Jerusalem, we stopped as a courtesy to the palace of Herod, Rome's king in Judah. Official visitors are expected to see the local ruler. Otherwise, they may be assumed as spies. "Where is the one that they call the king of the Jews?" I asked innocently. "We saw his star in the east, and we came to worship him." Herod, we learned, was not the person to ask this question to. For one thing, he wasn't a Jew at all. He was an Edomite, the traditional enemy of the Jews. In fact, he was practically everyone's enemy. Paranoia was his chief attribute. He murdered his wife, 3 of his children, his mother-in-law, his uncle, countless other relatives, suspicious of them all, on his deathbed. Afraid that no one would weep at his funeral, he had hundreds of people put to death all across the land. Just so they would be weeping for him. This was not the sort of man to whom you would come and announce the birth of a new king. Now, we didn't know this. or we would have entered the land secretly and left the same way. But it was too late. He knew about the baby, but like us, he didn't know where. "Where is the child to be born?" he asked the priests and the teachers of the law. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they answered, quoting the prophet Micah. Turning to us, he said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may worship him." After we left Jerusalem, the star reappeared and led us to a place where the child lived, no longer a stable, but a small house. Greeting the Holy Family, we fell to our knees and we worshiped the child. From our bags, we drew our gifts, not realizing that these tokens foretold his ministry. Gold for a king to rule in our hearts, frankincense for his priestly prayers ascending to God, and myrrh for the burial of his broken body. But we didn't stay long, but left quickly, returning by another route, being warned in a dream that Herod had plans to kill the child. It was no empty warning. Joseph, too, had been warned, and they fled toward Egypt that very night to escape Herod's murderous intent. So, with Christmas upon us, perhaps you think yourself as being different from the characters in this story. You love to hear the story told, but you don't see yourself as one of the Magi, like me. Nor do you think of yourself as a vicious King Herod, nor maybe as a member of the Holy Family. You're not Mary or Joseph or Jesus. You're not in the story at all, you think. Not so. Every time you hear the story of the guiding star, you have a choice of which character you will be. You can be Herod, or you can be a wise man or wise woman. Herod wanted no one but himself on the throne. He would kill anyone who threatened his rule. So, who is on the throne of your life? If you were in charge, then you have taken the role of Herod, and you have shut out the Christ child. If you're in charge, then sin and burdens drag you down. Why not let Jesus be king? A wise man comes to the Christ child, burdened with sin like a camel, but leaves with their burdens nailed to the cross. A wise woman comes empty-handed and unrighteous, but leaves loaded with gifts of righteousness and forgiveness lavished upon her. Wise men and women come anxious and afraid, but leave by the blessed peace of Christ with a guiding star to guide them home. You do see the star, don't you? Follow the star in faith to Christ. And then the list of the Magi will include Gaspar, Melchior, Balthazar, and you.